Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1962, Chesapeake AgriSoil LLC.
Yes, this is an application for conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a composting facility as an extension to conditional use number 1314 and conditional use number 1691. Originally for a micronutrient plant with related truck entrance and rail spur for processing and handling of poultry litter, and to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 228.88 acres, more or less, lying west of Route 13A, north of Route 485, and being identified on the tax maps as tax map ID District 132, map number 6, parcel 88.01 and 95, and also tax map ID 132, map 11, parcel 41. Gentlemen, again, and for the record, you've also received an exhibit booklet, which was received on April 10th of 2013 for your consideration. The booklet contains a copy of the application form, a letter from Purdue Agribusiness LLC in support, references to compliance with the comprehensive plan update, an aerial photograph of the site and area, a February 21, 2013 letter from DelDOT in reference to the entrance location, a project description for the proposed poultry waste compost facility, a series of site plans, documentation of the gore cover system, a copy of the response to the plus comments from Axiom Engineering LLC dated April 12, 2013, a copy of the plus comments dated December 20 of 2012, a copy of ordinance number 1354 for conditional use number 1314 for Purdue AgriRecycle LLC for the original micronutrient plant with related related truck entrance and rail spur, a copy of ordinance number 1865 for conditional use number 1691, which was to amend the conditions of approval for conditional use number 1314, and suggested proposed findings of fact. I received two agency comments, first one being April 16th of 2013. The Conservation District provided comments in the form of a memorandum and references that there are 17 soil types on this property, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during any construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches are affected, that it is not likely that any off-site drainage improvements will be required, but it is possible that on-site drainage improvements will be required. On April 22nd of 2013, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments in the form of a memorandum and reference that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 3 and the Blades Planning Area Number 2. That an on-site septic system will be utilized, that the parcel is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide sewer service at this time, and that a concept plan is not required. Received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date, other than those comments and what's in the exhibit book. And gentlemen, that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Ms. Carmi.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmine & Weidman. I represent the applicant, Chesapeake AgriSoil LLC, who's applied for a conditional use of land in an AR1 district for the purposes of constructing and operating a composting facility. Purdue AgriRecycle LLC is the current owner of the property, and Purdue currently operates a micronutrient plant on the property, which use was authorized by Sussex County Council in 1999, with conditions being amended in 2006. Tonight, we do seek to extend the existing conditional use, which is conditional use number 1314, as modified by conditional use number 1691, in order to allow the composting facility. Although the existing conditional use applies to three parcels, the proposed extension applies only to parcel 41. Also in attendance tonight on behalf of this application are Ken Christianberry of Axiom Engineering. He will discuss the site plan for the composting facility. Whitney Hall of Structure Engineering, Inc. Mr. Hall will discuss the process to be utilized at the composting facility. Wayne Hudson of Purdue will discuss Purdue's support of this application. Charlie Gifford, member of Chesapeake AgriSoil LLC, is in attendance to answer any and all questions that the commission may have. And I will conclude the presentation with a brief summary of their project's compliance with the zoning code as well as the comprehensive plan. As Mr. Lank stated, we did provide exhibit booklets for the commission's review and consideration. At this point in time, I would like to invite Ken Christianberry to address the commission.
Gentlemen, Ken Christianberry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. I have to pardon me for a second. I'm using the county's laptop, which is going to take a few moments for me to get acclimated to.
Remember how to use something that old, huh?
There'll be a charge for that.
Be a charge? I should have brought my own.
Operator.
If you'd like to, in your booklets, go ahead and turn to tab 4. I can show you kind of where I'd like to start. It's the aerial photographs of the project.
Mr. Christianberry, I want to just remind you, if you would, for the record, state your credentials, please.
I'm a Delaware licensed professional engineer.
Thank you.
License number 11553.
Really?
That's helpful.
Not at all.
Under tab number 4, you'll see the aerial photographs of the project site. The entire site consists of several hundred acres, which does house the existing Purdue facility that has been in operation since around year 2000. The 20 acres immediately adjacent to the existing facility is the area that is intended for the development of this new composting facility. The existing wooded buffer that exists around the perimeter of the project site is to remain undisturbed by this project. The area that's being cleared for this is actually a relatively immature wooded area that looks like from the old era photographs may have actually been clear when they did the original application a decade ago. So you have relatively new growth that's being impacted. There are existing forest lands along the edge, pretty much near the property line. The mature forest line runs right here, and that is around the outside edge of our project area. And then there are significant wooded buffers along the balance of the property area. There's no clearing to be on anything beyond the railroad spur and the tax ditch. Everything's going to be within this project area here, very much in compliance with what was in the original conditional use. Says the entire property, gives you some sense of how this is pretty congruous with the existing facilities. This is the existing Purdue facility. This is what is being proposed. Again, there are no changes to anything at the perimeters of the property. Existing mature vegetation will be allowed to remain. conditions that were applied for in 2006 when the conditions were amended are to remain and apply to the new facility, with the exception of the, not everything will be enclosed within the building. The enclosures will be underneath the gore cover system, which is going to be discussed in further detail by Mr. Whitney Hall.
Mr. Christian, I'm going to ask if you could move a little closer to one microphone or the other. Some folks in the back are having a little trouble.
I can certainly do that. The project has been submitted to DLDOT for a letter of no objection, which has been issued because the truck traffic has been deemed to be minor enough that a traffic impact study is not required for the project. We do understand that we'll have agency approvals from the Sussex Conservation District, DENREC, both from the on-site wastewater and air quality divisions will require permitting as well. And if there are any other impacts, those will have standard site plan approvals as well. At this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Hall to come and describe the process itself.
Anyone, for those of you sitting toward the back, if you're having any difficulty at all seeing the screen, once again, I encourage you to get up, move closer. You may walk up there to look at it.
Yeah, I'm going to just spend a few minutes, run through the process since...
Everybody see it now?
Apparently so.
I'm going to go through our process roughly. It's everything's in the book, but in case you haven't read it, I'll just go through it and hopefully answer any questions. The process is going to compost a combination of poultry litter, DAF residuals, hatchery waste, and scrubber water. Scrubber water being water generated at the existing facility as part of the odor control system for the existing facility. The other thing we will do is we will add ground wood to that mix, and that'll be done to adjust the carbon content of the mix and adjust the moisture for optimum composting. All totaled, be 110,000 tons a year of material will be composted. What we're doing is providing an alternative to land application of this material, which is currently what's being done with this material now. The composting of animal manures is a EPA best management practice. The reason being, by composting, the nutrients in it are bound up into the soil matrix. They stay fixed, available for plants, and not subject to rapid runoff from rainfall. The project will require a beneficial use determination from DENREC. Although the material is currently being land applied now, it'll be going through quite a bit more testing for this process. We will be providing laboratory testing of the feedstock, laboratory testing of the finished product, and we will demonstrate that through the process with records that temperatures have been such that the material is all pasteurized for use, so it's safe for use. This is a natural process. The only thing we add to this process is air, and it is in, not at all related to a chemical fertilizer operation, which is using ammonium nitrates and has been in the news recently. This material, when it goes through its composting process, you will end up with a soil amendment, and the two major releases are water vapor and carbon dioxide. This is out of the book, and this is a process flow diagram for our technology provider, the WL Gore system. What we do is we start in an enclosed building under negative air with a biofilter for odor control, and that's where the mixing occurs. We bring in the litter and hatchery waste into the building. The deliveries of the DAF and the scrubber water are all in tanks because it's in liquid form. They are covered tanks, and that material is pumped into the mixing building as required. The material is prepared in the building just by mixing the right quantities and mixing it with a front-end loader so it's a consistent mix. And then from that point, it moves out to the Gore system. The Gore system, I'll go into more detail in a minute, but it is a in-vessel system with a cover process. So there's three phases in the Gore system. The material will be brought out into the first phase. This is the system is modular, so it can be any size, but basically there could be any number of heaps, but in this case this is an example of a small system. Each heap would hold 1,300 cubic yards of material. The material would be brought out, put into the heap, the cover is applied, and then its air is put in through the bottom. That's the only thing that happens. It remains in that first phase for 4 weeks. The natural biological process raises the temperature to around 160 degrees or so, and the natural microbes and in the material break down and form compost material. What happens after 4 weeks of very rapid composting, material settles, starts to slow down, and needs to be basically fluffed up. So the cover is removed, and it's moved into a second phase. Same size, same situation. We add air, it's covered, and it remains there for an additional 2 weeks. So now 6 weeks into the process, it is a compost at this time. It needs a little maturity, but it's a stable compost at this point. And we move it into a phase three. At this point, it's not covered anymore because it's nearly done, and we blow air through it for, the GORE system says 2 weeks. This project is all, its emphasis is on the product. A high value product is where the economics of this project are driven. So we've extended the phase three process from 2 weeks recommended by GORE to between 6 and 8 weeks. And at that point, we will have a high-value product for as a soil amendment with a much higher nutrient content than a typical compost because of the feedstock that we have put into it. Now, if you want to switch to the next one. Next one, I'll go through the GORE system a little bit. So you already showed that one. You can go to the next one. Now one more. Before I get into the GORE system, I just want to give you an idea of how that flow diagram fits into our site plan here. But the process would start by truck bringing in here over a scale, and then we have the enclosed storage tanks for the scrubber water and the DAF material. This is the receiving building, be a 100 by 125 building. The litter and hatchery waste is brought into here. And the wood as well. We'd store the wood outside till we need it, and we'd bring it in. Everything is mixed in this building, and the odor control biofilter for the receiving building is here. Fans draw air out of this to maintain negative pressure. Everything runs through a biofilter before it's exhausted to the atmosphere. Then in this area, we have the three phases of the GORE system. The first 15 are dedicated for phase one, and we have 8 dedicated for phase two, and 19 for phase three, because as I said, we've extended the phase three to be a long process for maturity, so it will remain there. After that period, the material is ready for use. It will be temporarily stockpiled, removed by truck, and sent out to market. Yep, please. This is just a schematic. It's in the book of the GORE system. GORE is a Delaware company. They've expanded this composting system around the world. It's now at over 200 installations in 27 countries, and they process at all these facilities over 2 million tons of material a year. But we selected it because it does two things for us. One is control odors. And the second thing is it collects leachate. It doesn't, because it's a covered, it doesn't allow rainwater to get into the material, and any water that comes out of the compost from under the cover is collected in a trench below, and that's recirculated to the front end. So that's a common concern of regulatory agencies, so we do it on asphalt and collect everything that comes out from underneath. The system itself has really 4 key components to it. The primary one is the cover. It's GORE, and it's really a Gore-Tex fabric, the same material that goes into jackets and everything else, and the principle is the same. It's semi-permeable, so it allows water vapor to go through. So when you're running, you can stay dry. In this case, it allows water vapor to go through, which is a necessary part of the release of the process. It allows carbon dioxide to go through, but it traps the other molecules that are only partially broken down until they're fully broken down to carbon dioxide, and then they can escape through the fabric. It's a very high tech fabric. Gore is a fabric company that makes spacesuits and a lot of medical devices, and they're a specialty thing. So that is one of the keys to the system. It also includes aeration trenches underneath the piles. There's two aeration trenches for each heap. This provides a lot of air into the material. The whole point of the Gore system is to keep everything aerobic, fully with oxygen provided in it. And going along with the trenches is the computer system. They do things a little differently than some. Some composters monitor temperature only. Gore monitors oxygen content, which is really the important factor. So it constantly monitors oxygen, and that controls the blower. The blower goes on to provide air into the pile to maintain a fixed oxygen content, again, to keep the whole process fully aerobic. And then we're showing the leachate collection down below. So the technology is well proven, and but there's a couple elements to this whole thing. There's the Gore system provides the technology, but the operator has a responsibility to make the thing work. And that responsibility is to make sure that the process remains fully aerobic. And what that means is you must control the moisture content. You must be right around 60%. If you go too high, it goes anaerobic. You must provide a material that is porous enough to allow air to travel through it, which is why we add the wood. And you must control the carbon-nitrogen ratio to provide the right balance of those two elements for microbes. So with a good mix of materials and the Gore fabric, it's a successful project. And I mention this because you may have seen there's a facility in Wilmington, Delaware, which has been in the news recently. It's a facility that I oversaw operations to up until the end of 2011. They have had some difficulty there. I'm not there now. I'm not sure what it is. Prior to my leaving there, we were operating a successful project. They do have some difficulties that it's a difficult material they're dealing with, because it's food which comes in highly different quantities, different qualities, and contains a lot of plastic. All of these things mean for constant adjustment of the mixing material. Contrasted to this poultry project, where we have relatively fixed amount of material coming in, same material every day, very consistent, no contamination. So it's one mix would be done for the whole project it would be constant day in, day out. So Wilmington has had some difficulties with their mix. I would expect that they will adjust that mix and get that under control. And that was a temporary blip in their history there. That is the short answer of the short story of the process, and if there's any questions from that.
We may come back to you, but we'll go ahead and go through the presentation, and then we may have some questions for you at the end.
Mr. Hall, I actually have a couple questions for you. What has your personal experience been like with the Gore cover system?
Well, we've been using it for some years now. I've traveled around to see many of the facilities before we selected it in Europe and Canada and the U.S., and found it to be the most effective technology out there, partly because it's of its simplicity and just the high-tech fabric involved in the material.
And can you describe the final product?
Final product is a soil amendment, so it's very light, but it's useful in mixing with lower quality soils. It adds nutrients, it adds water holding capacity, It also assists in the exchange of nutrients from plants, so it's improved soil quality and product quality.
So it's inert?
It is inert.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, I'd like to invite Mr. Wayne Hudson of Purdue to address the commission.
My name is Wayne Hudson with Purdue, 32858 Willis Road. Here speaking on behalf of support of this project. We have a micronutrient facility there where we're converting poultry litter into an organic fertilizer. As part of that process, we clean the odors and the particulate coming off of that process, and it runs through air scrubbers, which generates quite a bit of water. This water is nutrient-filled and currently is being hauled off-site and being land-applied. This water would now be used within this compost and becomes a vital ingredient as part of the recipe, which would further enhance the operation and kind of complements the existing facility that we have there today.
Thank you, Mr. Hudson. I'd like to conclude the presentation with a brief summary of the project's compliance with the zoning code and the comprehensive plan. There's a more thorough analysis contained in the written submission, but I'll briefly address those two items. Again, we are seeking a conditional use of land in an AR1 district in order to construct and operate the composting facility, utilizing the latest GORE technology. The proposed use will enable the applicant to develop a more innovative and environmentally sensitive method of handling the poultry waste. Thus, it will address environmental concerns relating to the handling of the poultry waste and produce a product which can be beneficially used in an environmentally responsible manner. Purdue does support the extension of this conditional use and believes that the proposed use is compatible with their existing operations. This project does comply with the Sussex County Zoning Code. Again, the property is located in an AR1 district. The zoning code provides that the purpose of the AR1 district is to provide for a full range of agricultural activities and to protect agricultural lands. They should also protect established agricultural operations and activities. Permitted conditional uses in the AR1 district include agricultural-related activities. The zoning code also provides that the purpose of a conditional use is to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations with full protection afforded to surrounding properties by rigid application of the zoning code. These uses are generally of a public or a semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan, and the possible impact not only on those neighboring properties, but also on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan, of course. This proposed conditional use is of a public or semi-public character, in that it provides an innovative but environmentally sound method of disposing of poultry waste, and it's done in a commercially reasonable manner so that it'll decrease the amount of pollution and odor from poultry waste that was previously applied directly to the soils as a fertilizer. Thus, the proposed use will provide a community-wide benefit and also the ability to recycle a byproduct of the poultry industry utilizing the latest GORE technology. Due to the need for enhancing the ability of the poultry industry to protect our local environment, the proposed conditional use is an appropriate zoning method for permitting the use. If you excuse me for 1 moment. Apologize.
Sorry.
I have a bit of a cold. thus, the use does comply with the Sussex County Zoning Code. It's also consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update in 2008. The future land use plan identifies this property as being located in the low-density area. The plan provides that the primary uses envisioned in this area are agricultural activities and single-family detached homes, and industrial uses that support or depend on agriculture should be permitted. The proposed use will support and depend on agriculture and therefore should be permitted. The proposed use will cause no detrimental impact on the surrounding properties or neighborhoods. Rather, the GORE system that we're proposing to utilize uses positive aeration and a specially designed cover to create an enclosed system that optimizes the recycling process. It controls the odors and microorganisms and creates a consistent product that's unaffected by outside environmental conditions. Again, the proposed use is designed to benefit the family farm and agricultural industry in Sussex County, particularly the poultry growers in Sussex County. As Mr. Christianberry had stated earlier, there are currently screening and buffers in place as a result of the existing micronutrient plant, which would also screen this facility's operations from immediate view by any residents, any neighboring residents. It also will have no impact on traffic. DelDOT did issue a letter of no objection with respect to the use of the existing entrance for access to the proposed composting facility. Thus, it's our opinion that the proposed conditional use is for the purpose of promoting the health, safety, moral convenience, order, and prosperity and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And based on the record and this presentation this evening, we do request that the commission recommend approval. And, of course, we are here to answer any and all questions that you may have.
All right, then. Well, we're here to ask a few.
Okay.
We'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What would you estimate the distance is to the nearest residence?
I will defer to Mr. Christianberry.
Not actually measure that, but I can, for the purposes of illustration, just look at the aerial photograph. We see chicken houses here. There are some structures on site here. it appears as though the upper left, those houses there might be the closest, and they're pretty significant distance.
So quite a distance, acres away.
Yes, and I think that was taken into consideration when the initial conditional use was approved for the plant that's already there. And yeah, you can see that again on tab four.
Okay. I noticed that there's a tax ditch on the property, and it appears to be near this project.
There is. We've met with Denrick Drainage.
And can you tell us what protections there are for that ditch?
Best management practices will be required by the Sussex Conservation District. So that would include biofiltration swale, more likely extended detention, things of that nature.
And the leaching liquid that's on the asphalt pavement that's directed away from?
Yes, let me direct it to this sheet here, I think does show it. Some degree. And Whitney, please, by all means, chime in if there's something that needs to be said. But what we do show, I think we show it better on the other plan, actually. Bear with me one second, Mike. I will I think the one that with the grading plan, this one here really shows what we want to show. what you have over here is surface runoff, which rainfall hits the gore covers, runs off, doesn't really mix with the compost that's in process. The completed compost it does mix with, but that's already been stabilized. So these first two phases, it hits the gore cover, it runs off, and it's allowed to run down here into our best management practice, which is a stormwater management detention pond. The leachate that's underneath is separated out and is actually drained back to treatment facility
in the center,
allowed to recycle back into the process, and it's put under the gore cover in essentially the next batch.
So it's running down the channel's running down the middle of the project.
Yeah, I mean this is underground flow. The wastewater is flowing back into our system underground. It'll be piped
right
back.
All the
surface runoff. Surface runoff is only either hitting a gore cover and running off, or the inert finished product and running off into our pond, where then, of course, our pond will have to have Sussex Conservation District best management practices. They probably encourage us to use some green grass filters as well as the pond itself before it discharges. I think another thing to just keep in mind is that the entire point of this whole project is to take existing nutrients that are a byproduct of agriculture and contain them in the most environmentally responsible way that can be done. And right now, much of this agricultural waste ends up being spread directly onto farm fields. What's being proposed here is tremendous improvement over what common practice is today. Okay. And that's why we feel like very strongly that this is as environmentally responsible a project as you've ever seen me present to you.
Well, the reason why I was asking that was because earlier in this gentleman's presentation, it was just showing a half of the process, you know, not both sides, and it appeared
not the recycling.
It appeared as though that the channel was on the outside that might have been extending towards a ditch, but now I see that it's running down the middle of the project.
It's separated
between
out.
The two.
Everything
two
under the grow covers is separated out and drawn back into the head of the process, and is mixed into the batch, the next batch.
I'm good with that one. Could you or someone explain to me a little bit better, so I understand what DAF is? I see the dissolved air flotation residuals.
It's dissolved air flotation. You want to take this one, Wayne?
Sure. At processing facilities, the water flow is running through the plants, mm-hmm. and a lot of things are conveyed out to what we call the offal room. There, that water then runs through a screener, and all the solids are removed. You get a water mixture, which is basically an emulsified fat, for lack of better words, that mixes in with the water. It becomes like greasy water.
Mm-hmm.
That again then goes into a tank that has air bubbles that flow up through it that cause those solids to separate into surface on the top. It's like a weir that scrapes those off. It's very liquid, but it's very high concentration and basically a fat content. So that's what DAF, or dissolved air flotation, is.
So that's liquid fat.
It's a form of fat, but it has a lot of water in it.
It's 90% water,
yeah.
But the rest is primary fat.
So what normally would you be doing with that product?
Right now it goes and that gets land applied.
Land applied?
Yes.
Okay. And so along with the DAF that I understand a little bit better now, you're taking, you said the poultry hatchery waste, is that like eggshells and
yes, sir.
All that good stuff? And what about, and you talk about poultry litter, would that include dead birds?
No, we do not, in our current operation, we do not take any dead birds into the micronutrient plant, and that is not the intent of any of the litter that we pick up today that we bring in has dead birds in
so
them.
So you're not going to grind up any dead birds and
no, that's
put
not
that
in
the too? Okay. I know that's an ongoing issue, so I didn't know if this was a solution to that problem or not.
No.
That'd be another project.
Good question.
And the you talk about removing the finished byproduct by truck, so none of it's going to be taken out by rail cars. Just
our plan right now is by truck. The rail is there. It could be something considered in the future, but that's not the current, not the plan we're going to start with.
So what happens to this finished product? Where do you envision it going? Is it going to landscapers, or is it going to farm fields, or?
It could go to either, or it could go to the large national companies that do bagging and of product as well.
Okay, so you don't intend to do the bagging there on site?
No.
Okay. And I think my last question for right now would be, looking back at the current stipulations of Ordinance 1354, are there any of those that take exception? They talk about hours of operation and truck movement. And
I believe that the amendment to the
I didn't see any proposed conditions.
Yes, we submitted proposed conditions. I believe they are included in the proposed findings of fact.
Okay.
So tab 15. I believe that the amendment in 2006 removed the limitation on the hours. So we kept that out.
Okay, I see it now. I'm good, Mr. Chairman.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, then. Mr. Burton. So what will be the hours?
I thought we had it in there, but it would be one shift. It would probably be, I'm going to say, 7 to 5, something like that.
7 days a week?
No, we would not operate on weekends, 5 days.
Thinking of the what we just witnessed in Texas, with is there any possibility of what would be the downside disaster of this type of operation?
You were referring to Texas now? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a totally different thing. That was a plant that dealing with ammonium nitrate, which is an explosive chemical. This is a totally natural process. So as I say, we're putting air through it and getting it water vapor and carbon dioxide are the elements that are coming out of it. So it's the composting's been done since the days of the Romans. So it's there's a lot of experience with it. It's certainly not an explosive situation.
And this plant would only take product from the plant next door to it?
No, it would take taking similar products, but that would remain a separate operation.
But you're taking the byproducts from that over to the
only byproduct from that plant we're taking is the scrubber water from their odor
okay.
control.
So all the other
but they take litter. This project would take litter as well.
From all over, not just this plant. The plant next door is only supplying the water for this.
That's correct.
Operation. Okay. Thank you. No okay. further questions.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Chairman Wheatley. And with the exhibit book that we've had for 10 days and the excellent job that the team has done, my question's pretty much been answered. It's tab 15, starting, I believe, at number 17, your proposed conditions. That's what you may have mentioned tonight about not on weekends. And just following up with a question that Commissioner Johnson asked, do you know the end product of this? Does it ever end up as a supplement to any pet or livestock food?
No, I've never heard of that being used
so
that way.
It's not like a Valley Protein situation.
No, this is closer to dirt than anything else. I mean, that's the consistency of it.
Thank you.
That's all for me.
Mr. Smith, I don't believe they're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken.
Curious.
But I think it's probably in their R&D process, right? Would be my guess.
All that liquid fat.
That's right. Anything else?
No, sir.
Good. Looks like we've lost Mr. Ross. Okay. And then Mr. Lank?
My question has been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Abbott? Counselor?
Just a few, just because we've had a couple composting operations that have come through, and just I think this one's different, but just to make sure we're covering all the bases. Will you accept materials from anyone else? In other words, can somebody drive up with a truckload of materials and drop them off there?
No.
Okay. Is there any concern about dust from the operations? Because in one of the other ones, there was a requirement that the commission or the county put on that there'd be a water truck available for dust control. And I don't know. I don't think it was the same type of GOR operation, so that's why I ask if it's even relevant in this
case.
Yeah.
Well, we're fully enclosed when the material is received, because it can be dusty at that stage, and that's all done within and moistened up within an enclosure there. So I suppose there is a potential the final product when it's being loaded on could generate some dust, I would think. It's not typically a problem, but there'd be some. A water spray would be an obvious thing if that became an issue.
Okay. And then you maybe touched on this, but I was just, again, going through the conditions of some other ones. Is the composting area, is it fenced or enclosed or gated or anything like that?
We were not proposing a fence on it. It's an isolated area.
Okay. Because it's... What's the overall acreage of the composting area compared to the total Purdue site?
The composting area is around 12 acres, I think, excluding the pond. I mean, the stormwater areas add to that. I think he's going to correct me.
Just
roughly.
Including
total disturbance, including the pond.
Section 5.
Approximately 20 acres. The overall site acreage of the entire lands I have on the site plan are close to 230 acres.
Okay. And this is sort of centrally located within
it
the
is. Yeah.
That's all the questions I had. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I have just a couple. One, I want to refer you to Section 8, paragraph 5.1 in your booklet. The first paragraph, the last sentence, referring to poultry mortalities. And I just want to make sure we understand the testimony, because I was under the impression that the testimony was that I think you said it wasn't your plan at the time or whatever to use. And to us, we're interpreting poultry mortalities as being a dead bird. And I guess the question is, your statement here says that you may accept them from time to time as necessary to accommodate or produce poultry operations. So I guess the question is, are you or aren't you? Sounds like the plan is to have dead birds if you have some you want to get rid of, and otherwise you're not going to have dead birds. I mean, that, I don't know that dead birds are dead birds a problem. I mean, but I just want to make sure that obviously it was a concern of someone on the commission such that they asked that specific question. So I think we could use a little more specific answer, and it may not be an issue at all, but I'm just interested to know what the...
Yeah. The plan is on a day-to-day basis to not accept birds as a normal business practice.
Okay.
Purdue has indicated that there are times when there are birds that need a environmentally responsible way of disposing of. This could do it. So the door was left open, almost like an emergency situation, more than a day-to-day basis.
What's the problem with a dead bird? Why would anybody care?
I don't know that they would, particularly in an in-vessel composting system, totally covered. There's no access to
Well, my concern is if somebody feels like it's a problem, I want you to have the opportunity to someone to explain why it is or why it isn't. And here comes somebody that's got the answer.
Well, I don't know if
and
I have
your
the
name
answer.
Is
Charlie Gifford.
Okay.
US Agriswell.
Yeah.
I just want to say that the dead bird thing got involved well after we began the pursuit of this,
okay.
And we were actually asked by Purdue, in a catastrophic situation, would this be a facility that could handle these? And we said, sure, of course we could. Now, we wouldn't be dropping them on top of the compost piles that are already done. It's not like they're going to be laying out there. If we handled them in a catastrophic situation, they would be handled the same way as the other material. But it's not something that's critical in our request, but so if it's a problem from the county standpoint or the board standpoint, it's not a problem from our standpoint.
It was meant
to be a help when roofs cave in and this kind of thing.
It's not a problem for me, only to the extent that I wanted to make sure that it was clarified. And
yep.
That's what you've done, and I appreciate it.
Sure.
That's good. I'm also interested to know, and I think this speaks to the comprehensive plan, the economic section of the comprehensive plan. What's the job impact going to be? Are we going to be creating some jobs here?
There would be 11 full-time positions. There would be, of course, construction positions, and positions such as equipment maintenance, trucking, this kind of thing.
Now, the just so I understand how this works, you're accepting poultry waste by the hauling contractors that do the hauling for the growers and so on, and that material comes here. Mr. Gifford's going to come up and tell us. Yeah. Just want to make sure people understand how this happens.
We're actually speaking with some local fellows now about hauling.
Yeah.
We will be using and setting up a hauling company. It'll be independent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a lot of material to be hauled around, so there'll be several jobs there in addition to the facility itself.
Right. So it's a secondary. There's some secondary job creation as well. So.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Yes. Probably, I think, 15 or 20 jobs when all is said and done.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
All right, then. I think that's all I have. We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1962, Chesapeake AgriSoil LLC? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name's Doug Parham. Good plug in from my hometown. Born and raised in Laurel. Currently live in Millsboro. Know a few Wheatleys over that
way. I bet you do.
Yeah.
None of them are any good.
I'm here tonight representing the Inland Bays Foundation as a board member and chair of the Public Information Committee. We strongly support the approval of the zoning application for the Purdue AgriSoils application for implementation of their state-of-the-art composting facility. The board has reviewed their design documents and fully support this project. The foundation's philosophy is to find initiatives that will reduce the amount of nutrient pollution entering our bays, Rehoboth, Indian River, and Little Assawoman, by supporting existing low-cost to the taxpayer and low-risk processes that produce new revenues and new green jobs for Sussex taxpayers. This composting initiative will do both. Fact one, the state passed a law a few years ago prohibiting anyone from placing yard waste in public landfills. Fact two, our state, like all of Delmarva, has significant excess amounts of chicken litter that needs to be disposed of. This composting initiative is an excellent potential elegant solution for disposal of yard waste, the reduction of litter applied to our fields, new revenue for farmers, new green jobs, and a reduction of nutrient pollution entering our bays. It is low risk and no cost to the taxpayer. We all have a big job ahead of us to return our waters to the pristine condition they were in when I grew up here. Anyone remember swimming in trap pond? I do. Find ways to grow the Sussex economy and find new jobs for our children and grandchildren. The composting initiative is an elegant start, and I applaud the courage of Randy Day at Purdue Agriculture, or Agribusiness, for following through on his promise. We strongly urge approval for this zoning application. And with your permission, I'll read a letter from a good friend and fraternity brother. Okay?
Sure.
Secretary of Agriculture, Ed Keyes. This letter addresses Chesapeake AgriSoils LLC's application for conditional use approval by Sussex County of its poultry waste composite facility. Agriculture is the backbone of the Delaware economy. We're constantly looking for ways to improve the competitive advantage of our farmers in both national and international markets. At the same time, we are committed to cleaning up Delaware's waterways, most of which are impaired to some degree with unhealthy levels of nitrogen, phosphorus, bacteria, and other pollutants. Glad to hear him say that. For this reason, we have been working closely with Secretary O'Mara and the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, Denreck and Perrins, to help local government, industry, farmers, and residential communities do their part to ensure that all waterways are safe, swimmable, fishable, and even drinkable. Our promising opportunities to both increase the competitiveness of our agriculture industry and simultaneously reduce the quantity of nutrients entering our waterways is to more effectively handle poultry waste, which often has high nutrient content, and converting it into compost products that can be beneficially used in an environmentally responsible manner. The project proposed by Chesapeake AgriSoils has this potential. The project proposed will require multiple state permits from Denreck, including a beneficial use permit, BUD and Perrins, prior to operation, and this letter in no way prejudges that application. However, the project holds promise. We look forward to working with the company in the months ahead to ensure that the project meets regulatory standards and contributes to our water quality goals. For this reason, we are supportive of the proposed conditional use. We also encourage the company to avoid impacts on the wetlands and forested parts of the site, enhance those natural resources on the parcel that have the potential to further improve water quality and provide life, wildlife habitat sign at Keys.
Okay. Would you like to submit those two letters in the record?
Got it.
Thank you.
All for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone else, anyone that would like to speak in opposition or would simply like to ask a question? Because I understand that you may or may not necessarily be opposed, but you just may have, be seeking more information. So anyone who is opposed, is there any, are there any attorneys representing groups or people representing groups of folks? They would go first. Other than that, we'll just take you as you come. Don't you all jump at once. There we go. Here's a taker right here. Okay.
How are you?
Fine. And yourself?
Doing well.
And your name is?
My name is James Hoskins. I live at 28235 O'Neill's Road, pretty much right across the street from where this is happening at. Couple things. When I first found out that this was going up, it's from the paper I have here. The facility looks like it's going to be about four times as large as the previous facility. It's also probably about 50% closer to where I live at.
Mm-hmm.
The original facility right now, I can see right from my porch wing, my front porch, and this would be much closer and much larger as well. So that's a concern. I just refinanced my house 3 months ago, so I'm concerned about that. Next concern, I did some research, and this is off of the Energy Justice Network website. And it talks about anytime any of these processors are done, that whatever goes into that process is also what comes out of that process. And they quote the Environmental Protection Agency, organic arsenic compounds are extensively added to the feed of animals, particularly poultry and swine, in the United States to improve growth rates by controlling parasitic diseases. So obviously that's going to, could create an arsenic issue where we're exposed to that more often.
Who will that create an arsenic issue for? Does that create for an issue for you, or are you concerned about?
For the neighboring people who live in that area.
Because the arsenic is going to be airborne, or you're concerned it's going to get into the groundwater, or?
Well, it's something that whatever's started into that facility, and it's all from this Energy Justice Network, whatever's brought into that facility somehow has to come out of that facility. And that's where I'm concerned. And maybe I don't know enough about it is what the issue is. But
okay. Well, I'm just asking, so I'm going to try to find out for you.
Yes, because I'm just concerned about the health. Okay. I have a 16-year-old daughter.
Okay.
I jog around those streets on a regular basis. There's quite a few chicken facilities around those streets already.
Okay.
So it's obviously going to.
How long have you lived where you live now?
7 years.
You've been there a while.
Been there for a little bit. There are some odor concerns. Certainly there's some days when you come home from work and the odor is pretty atrocious. Kind of concerned about this being a much larger facility, taking in from different areas, how that's going to affect the air pollution. And just diseases. A lot of the it talks about antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Bacteria are often found in chicken manure, so obviously we're going to be closer to that. I don't know if I want that around my family,
mm-hmm.
without at least addressing the concerns
mm-hmm.
of that.
Okay. What next?
I think those are the two biggest issues. The only other thing I saw that I kind of wanted to ask a question about, because I really don't know that much about it, it talks about dioxins that are produced. Talks about chlorine contamination, dioxin, and just and dioxin is actually declared a class 1 carcinogen, which is a quote unquote known human carcinogen by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC, which is an arm of the World Health Organization. So I guess I'm just more want to ask questions about these things because I don't know that much about them.
Okay, well, I don't either, but we'll find out. We'll see what they know anyway.
Okay. I think that's the only concerns I have.
Okay. More answer, and we thank you very much.
All right.
Before we get to the next person, why don't we, I would like somebody from the applicant to come forward and address the issues of these items that are, that there's some concern are going to be left or somehow, some way might be exposed to the neighbors. This would be arsenic, antibiotic, something, antibiotics, and the dioxin. And then we're going to talk about the odors, which might be a bigger problem, but go ahead.
Okay. Do I need to reintroduce myself?
No, I think we know who you are now.
Okay. I'll speak to the arsenic. I think it was practice for many years. Different industry companies did include arsenic as some type of preventative in the feed. Most of the poultry companies that I'm aware of have excluded and they no longer use arsenic. So we test our current litter that's coming into our farm, into our facility today for that. And that's what we're checking it for is arsenic, and we have not seen levels of arsenic in there. Okay. Now, that being said, there are natural occurring arsenic. Arsenic is a natural compound, and that will occur in some instances, but I'm not aware of any poultry company that is putting arsenic in their feed, which would end up in the manure coming to the farms.
Okay. And the other items?
I was just going to say back to the arsenic or other constituents. I mean, the material is now currently land applied without regular testing. Regular testing will be something that's added when we get a BUD from Denrec. So it'll actually be going through a lot more testing on the incoming and the outbound material as well. And there are limits that if you do exceed those limits, you cannot distribute the product. So that is something that does go on. Dioxins are a chlorine-based thing we don't have the basis to produce it.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about odors. Somebody, you or one of your team can talk about odors. The gentleman testified, and I was here in 1999, believe it or not, the last time. And I think Mr. Lank was here, Mr. Abbott was here. I'm not sure anybody else was here, but I know the three of us were. And I know that was a big concern then, and I'm sure it's on the minds of the neighbors now. What can you tell us about how this project may contribute to any kind of an odor problem?
Well, this is why we're using the advanced technology that we are using. Open composting is certainly an odorsome practice. The controls we put in are the enclosed building to receive the material under negative air, and then the gore cover system through the composting process with the liner that lets the semi-permeable covers and as I said, our process as the operator is to produce a consistent mix with the right porosity, carbon nitrogen ratio, and moisture content. And with that, any offsite odors would not be an issue.
All right. The product coming in, okay, when it's coming in, are those trucks covered or enclosed in some way?
They're covered. You're doing that now, are you not? Yeah. They're covered now. We would have them covered as well.
Okay. And do you anticipate a queue, a line, a backup? Or are we talking about a situation where you're going to have 10 or 20 trucks sitting around waiting to be unloaded on a hot summer day when the breeze comes just from the right direction and blows right across that man's house? Is that going to be an issue? Does that in fact happen? Is there a lot of wait time to unload trucks? Or
I can't speak for the existing facility.
Might be able to tell us about that.
For our current operation, we don't have wait time, and that was one of the things when I talked about this project is we looked at utilizing our scale, mm-hmm. and we determined at that point that there could be the possibility of a backup of trucks for waiting. So we asked them to include their own scale for their facility. So currently when we come in, we have raw trucks come in to go across the scale. If any trucks are staged to be waiting, they're trucks that are empty, waiting to be loaded to go out with finished product.
Okay. And
incoming trucks get the priority.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, for the proposed facility, you know, there's a lot of tons per day, but the DAF is coming in closed tanker trucks, so that's going from a tanker to a pump to a tank as kind of a separate issue. The litter, which is, the, I think, what you're referring to is, I don't know whether it's 10 or 12 trucks a day, but it's not a, it's not a, a lot of trucks.
That's that. A good answer to a question I meant to ask. How many trucks? That's it, 10 to 12 trucks a day?
That's of the litter.
Right, there, I understand. Yeah. The water's right. A different deal. But, yeah. Okay. All right, well, believe me, I understand that, one to one person the odor is atrocious, and to some folks it kind of smells like money, but... you know, if there's an odor issue, we just need to know what it is and make sure these folks know what it is. So they are living next to this place now, so we just want to make sure we don't make things worse if you, in fact, do get approval. So
right, and that is, of course, a DENREC-regulated emission as well.
Well, and I would encourage them, if they have an issue, if you get up someday and it's atrocious, that's who you ought to call. Well, I want you to call these guys first, and if they don't get any satisfaction, you know.
Of course.
I mean, that's your right. That's everybody's right to do that. So, okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak in opposition or just out of have a concern? You don't necessarily have to be opposed. Come on up, ma'am.
My name is Bonnie Willie. I live at 30785 Dogwood Drive, Laurel, Delaware.
Okay.
And... if they would put that map up again, they showed where the homes are.
He'll do it for us.
The picture, the aerial picture?
Yes.
Sure, give me a moment. Bear with me here. What's I'm doing now?
The one where you pointed out where the closest home was.
I believe that's probably the one. And this is you're welcome to use that.
You can just go up there and point to
you
it.
You can just go right up there and point to it, man. That's fine.
Take your finger right on it.
Up there is where he said was the closest one. Here to this is where we all own the property. Right here. To us, this looks a lot closer than that over
there. Sure is.
Well, I think you're right. And I think they probably, that the one over there was just a lot easier to see. We all stand correct. And quite honestly, it occurred to me that they maybe weren't seeing those. And we've all been out there and know. Has that been a problem for you since they've been there? I mean,
it's smelly now. And I didn't realize how many trucks was going to be coming in every day. But see, right now, they put it on the fields and it's smelly. That's just in the spring. But if they're going to be having all those trucks coming in every day, that's going to be an issue. It's got to be a worse smell than what we're having now.
Well, I think what they're saying is, and I'm just telling you what they're saying, is that because it's not being spread and exposed to the air, that's why...
Well, how do they get it out of the truck?
You don't get the smell. Well, I'm sure that there's going to be some point in time when they're in the process
okay.
of doing that. I think that the question, I guess, would be about compared to being spread on the field.
I don't know
the answer.
I know, but that just happens, you know, in the spring and then it's gone. But if this is going to be so many trucks coming in every day, all year long, that means the odor is going to be there every day, all year long, not just in the spring when they're putting it on the fields. Mm-hmm. An odor is mainly our biggest complaint is the odor. The odor is bad now. It can only get worse. And
you've been there a long time, right? Weren't you there the first time?
I owned all that land, and I sold these other people their lots, and I feel really bad. Sorry for them.
Well,
I still own. I don't live there personally, but I'm there all the time because I still have three lots. We grow there. We cut the grass.
Oh, so you don't live there now?
I don't live there now.
Okay.
But I own three of the lots that are still there. I own over 10 acres still there.
Uh-huh.
More like 12 acres.
Okay.
And I'm not even trying to sell them because this is...
So have you sold any since 1999?
No.
Okay. Have you tried to?
Well, it's got for sale signs on every one of them, but there's been no interest.
Okay.
All right.
And, I had several things I wanted to do. I should have wrote them all down. But that was the main thing, was that the odor is just horrendous. And the amount of trucks that are coming in, I just can't see how they can get it out of that truck and into that building without it being an issue of odor. That's about it.
Okay. All right. We thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Step right up.
Hi. My name is William Mitten. I live at 28281 O'Neill's Road, and I have a couple concerns.
Okay.
Currently, with the Purdue Agricultural Facility that's already existing,
okay,
it's not necessarily just an odor. Mm-hmm. There's days when you go out where it irritates your mucous membranes, mm-hmm, you know, to the fact that my wife, we get out of the car, we got to go inside the house. So it's extremely irritating to your facilities when, and it's probably about 30% of the days that this odor, this whatever you would call it. The gentleman who lives further down, right where the bend of the road is, he is the closest property. And I know at one point, I think you mentioned about, well, you can always call if the odor is a little too much. So he was calling quite often, mm-hmm, and complaining.
Calling. Who was he calling?
I think you mentioned that if there is an odor, Denrek.
Denrek, okay.
Okay, so he was calling.
He was calling right people.
He was calling. Okay. And so they would come out to check. Well, I think one of the things that was done was they planted trees to reduce his line of sight so he couldn't see when the doors were open and call about this irritating odor. So the odor hasn't disappeared. I guess he just...
Are you suggesting that they planted the trees after he complained about the odor, or were the trees planted in the original construction?
No, the trees weren't there. They're right along the road, mm-hmm, and they were planted probably about two or three years ago, because he told us that he was calling, and one of the remedies was to...
Put a barrier,
reduce the line of sight, but the odor and the mucus, you know. There was... Only about 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month and a half, there was a mishap over at the existing plant. Mm-hmm. Fire department was called.
Yeah,
so we could smell the odor all the way down to Salisbury Mall. We know the odor, so that's a concern.
Right.
Going on this existing, one of the questions I have is if it's on asphalt, mm-hmm, during the process, asphalt expands and contracts, what happens if cracks do start to appear in the asphalt? Is that going to, the water that's going through this process, is it going to seep into the ground, into existing aquifers underneath? You know, that's another concern that I have.
I will ask them that question.
Okay.
I'm not going to answer it for them. I think I know the answer, but I'll let them answer it.
Okay. And I think it's about it. One other question, is there going to be something that will be put around so it's sight unseen, more or less?
As far as a buffer area, you mean?
Yeah.
Or some kind of a visual barrier?
Yeah.
I'll find out.
Okay. I think that's all I have.
Okay.
Okay.
We thank you very much.
Can I get your last name, please?
Mitten, M-I-T-A-N.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I need somebody from the applicant up here, answer a couple questions, okay? Okay, the concern was line of sight, odors, what was the other thing?
Asphalt.
The asphalt, yeah, that's a good question. What about the asphalt?
Well, it has not been an issue at the facilities I've seen, but it's also interesting that Denrek will currently permit a site for composting without on dirt on ground. So what we've done is we've taken it much further along. So we collect, whether we collect 100% or 99.999 could be subject to debate, but essentially we collect all of the leachate.
Okay. Are you aware of any engineering reason or geophysical reason why they wouldn't care whether or not it was on asphalt or directly on the ground?
I think they look at it as it's a natural process. I mean, it's no different than when trees and leaves fall in the woods. They go through the same composting process. So.
Right. Just okay. And then there was
the buffer.
The idea of the buffer. I don't know whose question that is, but the question is there currently in the plan some type of buffer to screen the facility from the neighboring folks?
We'd be certainly willing to put in a buffer.
Okay, and you are aware this is a conditional use, and you can be required to do that if we should decide to approve the application.
I would suggest that we already have that buffer, as he spoke to earlier, down here where Mr. Ebron lives in that corner. As part of our permit, when we construct the facility, is that we were to plant trees. And now those trees.
See, I thought I remembered that too. I thought those trees were a requirement of your conditional use, not done because of somebody complained.
No, they were part of our conditional use, and now it's been a period of years where those trees have matured, so now it's blocking the view more so than it did when they were first planted. So there's a buffer that exists, actually. Kind of all along, we actually put in a berm, raised the berm up, so we raised the trees up.
Okay.
And then we planted trees on top of that. So that buffer has established, and that's what the purpose of those trees were, to be out of sight.
Okay, yeah.
Now, the issue that we have with the odors, and we are required as part of our DENREC permit, anytime we receive a load of poultry litter or poultry manure, it has to come into this end receiving door that faces the residence on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Once that truck goes in, that door has to close.
Okay.
In the event that that door should malfunction or fail, we're required to notify DENREC and notify them we have a problem with the door, give them an estimated time when it will be repaired,
okay,
just to make them aware in case or in the event someone should call and say your door is left
okay.
open.
Have you been cited by DENREC for any violations resulting from any of the odor issues?
We have not. DENREC comes on an annual basis. They inspect our facility. They want to see it while we're in operation. They go through, read all the recordings, the monitors. They require us to keep paperwork and records of how often we dump the scrubbers, how often we check the barometric pressures on the bag houses, and all that's inspected on an annual basis.
Have they made any additional or out-of-sequence visits as a result of any complaints that they received that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Everything's been a routine annual visit.
Okay. All right then. Thank you, gentlemen. Yes, sir.
Could I just add on the buffer issue? To the extent that this commission sees fit to add additional buffer, or we can speak with the neighbors and talk to them about it, we're more than happy to do it.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll take that under advisement. Okay. Who's next? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen. Name's Larry Bryce. I live at 28315 O'Neill's Road.
Okay.
One of the residents directly behind, I guess you would say, behind the plant.
Okay.
If I could have a gentleman pull that
turn
back,
that back
up.
On for us, Ken, please, if you would.
County office did not set the timer so quick. I'm not sure what it's doing here, Bob.
Well, you know, it's government.
Either one was schematic or...
That'd be efficient.
Something. I don't know what it's doing.
Mr. Chairman, if I might ask, just for my edification amongst ourselves, is that it's the charge of this commission to look at this as a land use issue. Is that correct?
It is.
And then if supposing that we should make a recommendation to county council in favor of this, then county council would act towards that way, that there is a higher regulatory agency that handles the science, and that is DNREC.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
So while we might not have the answers to all the science and reason why there may be odors,
we're looking at is this
it's
site.
It's a land use consideration for us, that's correct. Yeah. And inherent in that is the health, welfare, and benefit of the citizens of Sussex County, and that's kind of where these other things come into play, but you're absolutely right. We don't have any jurisdiction over the regulations as they pertain to those items, per se.
We all have copies of the map in front of us, so if...
I gave him a copy.
Yeah, this gentleman...
If you just want to tell us where...
Maybe you'll hold it up.
We'll probably find it.
Pop that in there for you if it's...
Okay. My main concern is down below where he was indicating before in the bend.
Yeah, just come on around here and show me, and I'll make sure these guys know what we're talking about.
So, I don't know how old the satellite picture is.
Well, it's all right. Just show me where you are.
I reside, say...
You're in here.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You're down in this corner here.
Correct.
Right there,
guys. There you go.
Okay. Right.
Below here, when I first moved in 2003,
uh-huh.
There used to be a stand of full-grown mature trees as a buffer here.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that was their property or a farm or somebody all the mature trees.
I don't know either.
So, consequently, the view I've got across the road at this point is I can see lights, I can see parts of the building, and substantially more noise.
So you would like to see something done about that?
Something more mature than what's the secondary growth that's left from all the left that's coming out now.
Okay.
It was quite outside the network anyway.
That's others yours. Okay. All right, sir.
But also, I mean, we've got more of a visual now, but if they expand the plant, which is expansion
coming
towards us.
Yeah.
What we're going to see are these berms and the Gore-Tex covers from air positions where we live.
Uh-huh.
Those trees, the mature trees, used to act as a buffer also for some of the odor, and I'll call it particulate matter also.
Yeah, for dust. Yeah.
Dust.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would get brown specks. We do still, all now and then, from the existing facility.
Right.
Now, what it is, I don't know. If they've got scrubbers, it's not catching at all.
Mm-hmm. How often does that happen?
The odors, it varies. I don't know if it's on a receiving operation when they've got the doors open, but sometimes it's late in the afternoon, evening, and it will precipitate for a day to 2 days or more. On occasions,
okay,
and then it disappears.
Are you aware of a specific person at or associated with the plant that you can call to voice your concern? If
no, sir, I am not.
Not okay.
No.
All right. We'll
being I was a prior resident of Maryland. I moved to that location in 2003 from Maryland.
Okay.
Consequently, like I say. At that point in time, that wasn't that big an issue.
It was, yeah, I understand.
But I mean, it's over the years have become a problem. I've seen an increase in my problems with COPD,
mm-hmm.
which that's mm-hmm. going to be an ongoing thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has since gotten more towards the allergy side and asthma.
Yeah.
But our concern also is seeing this additional rail spur. Even though they say at this point in time that's not in the works, if it's on this blueprint and it's up for approval, there's some intent
well,
there.
Well, I'll ask the question from that, but I would suspect that's more on the shipping side than the receiving side.
Okay, my concern there also is the noise factor, the times of shipping and receiving.
Yeah, understood.
Because that can go on day and night. There's enough noise over there as there is now at nighttime. We can hear, I guess it's tobacco running.
I understand.
Moving material as it is.
Okay.
And consequently, when that odor is present, be it summertime, we can't open windows.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be locked down with AC at all times.
Right.
Because once it prevails into the house, you can't get it out.
Mm-hmm.
consequently invested quite a bit of money in a, say, a semi three-seasonal back porch to the home, which we can't even lower screens when that odor is present because it just prevails the whole house. Also, the litter that they're going to be bringing in, is that also from various states, be it Maryland, Delaware, wherever? How far?
No, sir, you're going to have to ask me, and I'll ask them, but okay. I'll find out for you.
And I guess the main thing is also, like I say, the noise factor. We can right now see substantially that facility that's existing. So we're going to see even more of it without some sort of mature buffer, more than what they planted these, what are they, red cypress or whatever, these fast-growing cypress type.
Right. Right.
Thing they've got around that bend right now that is currently they put in place to block Mr. Russell, who was the other complainant he referred to. He can't see across it right now straight in because of those.
Okay.
But they are right at the road.
Mm-hmm.
They're not up in the field and so forth.
So you'd be looking for something a little more substantial.
Right. There's got to be something more receptive back
And
more mature. Because it acts as a sound barrier, plus it blocks some of the particulates that come out of there. And really, that's our biggest concern, is the odor, the time frames, because they indicate they're going to have 2 to 4 weeks, possibly longer now, uncovered to finish the process. And just how much more odor is going to be evolving from that, plus also the wildlife issue. I mean, a vulture smells now. He flies over real good on a pile that they've planted, you know, just pile out the field. And we've got them all over the place already. So there is an issue of, say, the birds and so forth like that in the area, too. I'm not that big a proponent for vultures. They're a protected bird. But
I was going to say, don't shoot one.
No. Wouldn't dare, but I mean,
come get you. It gets
a little. Every now and then, you see a dozen vultures flying, you know, around your property, up and down the tax ditches and so forth. And the water runoff could be potentially a problem too. After heavy rains, I know I've got a tax ditch right in back of me. It runs all year long, virtually, unless we're in a kind of a drought.
Yeah.
But it's spring fed, so that is actually gum branch. So it runs continual.
Mm-hmm.
But after real heavy rainfall, that thing will jump up 4 to 5 feet. And it has, on occasion, crested over that berm. Now, over there on their side, which is also a continuation of that ditch, how much of the runoff that they get from all that open asphalt and Gore-Tex that would run into that.
Yeah, you know, they have to contain all that, though. They have to build additional means to contain that, so it won't just be running into what's there now. They'll have to build systems to account for that additional runoff, but it's a good question.
Because I'd say the holding pond, if they build it for a normal, I guess, flow out from what they're going to have to hold, not what they're recycling, but the runoff, there could be potentials at time with, I don't know what size it is or anything else, where it could potentially overflow and create a problem downstream.
There are very specific requirements for the sizing of those things based, I think, on 100-year storm or 50-year storm or something. But it's something that has to be engineered. It's not just whatever they think is a good idea.
And really, I guess their concern, too, is we're not completely satisfied with the odors and so forth. We're getting in light factor from the existing facility now. What can we look forward to when this other facility is in bloom? So I guess that's about all I have.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there a question in any of that? I think we're okay. I think they've already addressed the fact that they'd be willing to work with the neighbor.
We're going to ask if there was somebody at the facility.
Yeah. I was going to ask. Is I guess Mr. Hudson. Is there someone either at the facility or a company representative that these folks could call when they have an issue? I mean, obviously they're welcome to call DENREC, but could that be arranged?
Yes, very much so. We encourage anytime somebody has an issue or a complaint or unhappy, whether it be a visual or odor issue or anything along those lines, or a truck driver cut them off. If they just want to drive up to the plant and visit the plant, but also they can call the office at any time.
My concern is these folks have a rather specific situation and fairly specific concerns. I don't think they want to call the 800 number and get hung up with whoever.
That number is a local number to the plant.
They want to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Do you want that number now as part of the record? I can give that to you.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
It's area code 302-628-2390.
And who should they ask for?
Steve Lester. He is the plant manager.
Okay.
And if he's not there, that will forward to his cell phone, so he will always get your call.
Could you repeat that again, please?
302-628-2390.
Mr. Lester.
Lester, and please let him know that if these folks call him, he needs to take that call.
They will.
Okay, because he doesn't want me to call.
Wayne said to call him.
That's right. that's his job. So, all right then, thank you. Anybody else wish to speak in opposition or concern of any kind? All right then. One trip to a customer, I'm sorry, it's strictly enforced. But if you can tell the guy in front of you if he wants to come up and ask a question.
It was part of my initial question also, reference out of state.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's right. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. He was just reminding me about the – I beg your pardon, sir. That's fine. Yes. Where's all this stuff coming from?
All of the poultry litter, i.e. the poultry manure, we source that from the closest chicken house we can get to. Evidently, the further away it is, the more it costs to get it.
They charge you to haul that stuff, don't they?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So primarily, majority of our litter comes from Delaware. Some comes from Maryland, but on occasion, we have taken some from across the line in Virginia.
But it's Delmarva Peninsula?
All Delmarva Peninsula. Yeah. Okay. We can't afford to go any further than that.
Not coming from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York?
No, we ship finished product to Pennsylvania.
Good. Good. Okay, anybody else? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And we thank you all for your patience and participation.